Hello, and welcome to New World Witchery's Folk Magician's Notebook for November 2022. These are short monthly episodes that will offer a brief overview of folk magical topics and information that might be useful to you over the coming month. As always, we highly recommend that you also pick up a copy of a reputable and reliable almanac for folk magic, such as the Witch's Almanac, Llewellyn Witch's Datebook, or your local Farmer's Almanac. Let's take a look at the moon for November 2022. The full moon date is November 8th, where it will be in the sign of Taurus, and it is sometimes known as the snow moon or the frost moon. Our new moon date is November 23rd in the sign of Scorpio. Some notable astrological information. Well, we begin this month waxing in Aquarius for the first quarter moon on the 1st. This is still the time for honoring the dead and communing with the spirit realm, and the moon's position in Aquarius should make for somewhat easier communication. If you're sowing winter crops, get them into the ground in that first week of November. That would be advisable because you'll get them in both before the first heavy frosts in many places, and the progression from Aquarius to Taurus over that week is generally good for all above ground crops. With the full frost moon on the 8th in Taurus, you might want to plan a meal or do some moon gazing and work some transformational magic. There's also a lunar eclipse that night, which should be very visible on the west coast and partly visible throughout most of North America, which would also potentially add to the transformational nature of that day. As the moon wanes through the signs of Gemini and Cancer through the 12th, you can do storm protection charms against bad weather. When the moon hits its final quarter on the 16th, it will be transitioning from Leo to Virgo, which is good for weeding and getting rid of pests in the garden, but it's also a good time to banish any other unwanted creatures, spirits, or people lingering around. As the moon turns new on the 23rd, it will be in Scorpio, excellent for work with sensual magic or mysteries and secrets. Finally, as we close out the month, our lovely Luna will be reaching the first quarter again in Pisces, which is a time to begin indulging in fantasies and working wishful and dreamful magic, as well as protecting any flowering plants you wish to save over the winter. Now we'll take a look at the cards, divination, and proverbs for the month. Our playing card of the month is the Eight of Spades. This card represents arguments, shouting, conflict, and miscommunication. The Eight of Spades is not usually a fun card to draw, because it indicates that a war of words is about to break out, or may indeed already be underway. Not all cards have easy silver linings, and this one means that the path someone is currently on will inevitably lead them into conflict with someone else, and that the only way out is through. We have to have those tough conversations in order to get things done, and hopefully then we find solutions that resolve the conflicts we have. That's not always how it goes, and an Eight of Spades argument can be the sign of something heavier. Paired with a Two of Spades or a Two of Hearts, it could indicate the end of a partnership or a fierce and passionate quarrel. Connected to an Ace of Diamonds, it might mean that there's an argument looming over money or even an intellectual debate that has real consequences. It can also be the card that means things are coming to a head and that the worst part will be over soon. For example, if it's paired with the Ace of Spades, that would mean putting an end to the conflict and letting go of whatever caused it. Our tarot card of the month is the Eight of Swords, which depicts a person, often a woman, bound and surrounded by swords embedded in the ground. There's water at their feet, suggesting the subconscious, but it's in puddles or appears to be diminishing, indicating a possible trickling away of your grip on reality or your ability to reason clearly. This card is all about the beliefs and knowledge that you need to let go of. Either they've become toxic or you're moving into a better understanding, but at the moment, clinging to these thoughts and beliefs will only hold you back. We can be easily blinded by our own biases and preconceived notions, and drawing this card means that we need to take a moment to get outside of ourselves and ask, what if they're right? Considering possibilities that are uncomfortable or making difficult choices may not be fun, but it is often necessary. And the Eight of Swords is likely telling you that's exactly where you are. Avoid the stubbornness that can sometimes be indicated by an inverted Eight of Swords in its mildest state, and be prepared to deal with anxiety or even an existential crisis if this is connected to a major arcana like the Tower or Judgment. Our folk divination method of the month. We're looking at a form of divination that involves finding specific verses from the Bible, of all places. These are called birthday proverbs, and they're found in the Book of Proverbs in the Bible. This is a fairly common practice in different parts of the Upland South, which would include places like Appalachia and the Ozarks. I'll read you a little passage from a book by folklorist Vance Randolph. The book's called Ozark Magic and Folklore. Many hill folk tell fortunes and predict marriages by means of certain quotations from the Bible. For example, the 21st and 31st chapter of Proverbs have 31 verses each. Chapter 21 is the man's birthday chapter, and chapter 31 is the woman's birthday chapter. A boy looks up his proper verse in the man's chapter according to the date of his birth. A man born on the 23rd of any month, for example, reads Proverbs 21:23. The content of this verse is supposed to be equally significant to him. So in my case, when I look at this approach, my proverb says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty." Now, patience has been a long-standing goal of mine, even from when I was very young, so I do think this could hold some merit, or it may just be a bit of a coincidence. I'll also note that this is obviously a very gendered reading of these verses. I do have a number of non-binary people in my life, so I have spent some time looking through other chapters, and I found that Proverbs 11 works well for finding a birthday verse too, and without being quite so gender-specific in most cases. So, if you want a non-gendered birthday verse, Proverbs 11 is one way to go, or simply read any of the chapters 11, 21, or 31 that resonates most with you. Simply find the day of your birth, the verse that associates with it, and that should be your fortune-telling verse. Our witch's proverb of the month. Do not speak in daylight what you have learned by moonlight. No. Our folk tales of the month, and it is tale this time, include three short fables from famed fable maker Aesop. Our first fable is The Crow and the Pitcher. In a spell of dry weather, when the birds could find very little to drink, a thirsty crow found a pitcher with a little water in it. But the pitcher was high and had a narrow neck, and no matter how he tried, the crow could not reach the water. The poor thing felt as if he must die of thirst. Then an idea came to him. Picking up some small pebbles, he dropped them into the pitcher one by one. With each pebble, the water rose a little higher until at last it was near enough so that he could drink. Fable number 2. The Astrologer. A man who lived a long time ago believed that he could read the future in the stars. He called himself an astrologer and spent his time at night gazing at the sky. One evening he was walking along the open road outside the village. His eyes were fixed on the stars. He thought he saw there the end of the world was at hand, when all at once down he went into a hole full of mud and water. There he stood up to his ears in the muddy water and madly clawing at the slippery sides of the hole in his effort to climb out. His cries for help soon brought villagers running. As they pulled him out of the mud, one said to him, "You pretend to read the future in the stars, and yet you fail to see what is at your feet. This may teach you to pay more attention to what's right in front of you and let the future take care of itself." "What use is it," said another, "to read the stars when you can't see what's right here on Earth?" And our final fable, The Miller, His Son, and the Ass. One day, a long time ago, an old miller and his son were on their way to the market with an ass which they hoped to sell. They drove him very slowly, for they thought they would have a better chance to sell him if they kept him in good condition. As they walked along the highway, some travelers laughed and shouted at them. "What foolishness," cried one, "to walk when they might as well ride. The most stupid of the three is not the one you'd expect it to be." Well, the miller did not like being laughed at, so he told his son to climb up and ride. They'd gone a little further along the road when the remerchant passed by. "Oh-ho, what do we hear?" they cried. "Respect old age, young man. Get down. Let the old man ride." Though the miller was not tired, he made the boy get down and then climbed himself to ride just to please the merchants. At the next turnstile, they overtook some women carrying market baskets loaded with vegetables and other things to sell. "Oh, look at the old fool," exclaimed one of them, "perched on the ass while that poor boy has to walk." The miller felt a bit vexed, but to be agreeable, he told the boy to climb up behind him. They had no sooner started out again than a loud shout went up from another company of people on the road. "What a crime," cried one, "to load up a poor dumb beast like that. They look more able to carry the poor creature than he to carry them." "They must be on their way to sell the poor thing's hide," said another. The miller and his son quickly scrambled down, and a short time later the marketplace was thrown into an uproar as the two came along carrying the donkey slung from a pole. A great crowd of people ran out to get a closer look at this strange sight. Now the ass did not dislike being carried, but so many people came to point and laugh and shout that he began to kick and bray, and then, just as they were crossing a bridge, the ropes that held him gave way, and down he tumbled into the river. The poor miller now set out sadly for home. By trying to please everybody, he pleased nobody, and he had lost his ass besides. In each of these tales, we're usually given a moral at the end. After all, that's part of what makes a fable a fable. It's a little story with a simple moral to take away from it. Now, don't get me wrong, I love Aesop's fables for the lovely magical tales they are, but the morals to me always seemed to suck a little bit of the fun out of them. Instead, what if we let our minds look for our own lessons in stories like these? In the case of the astrologer, the moral about looking around rather than at the stars does seem to fit, but the astrologer was also right that there was a bit of doom in his forecast. Maybe it's less about just looking to the reality around us, and more about the perspectives we use in general. What if the astrologer's predictions are ultimately right, too? We end the story with his rescue from the muddy hole, but perhaps something much worse was also on its way. Or in the case of the miller's journey with the ass, I can definitely see the moral about not trying to please everyone, but what about a moral about not making fun of the way someone's going about their business? Perhaps the tale is as much an indictment of those who lob accusations and vitriol at others without knowing their circumstances as a moral tale about people-pleasing. And in the story of the crow and the pitcher, I do love the moral about resourcefulness and wit being bred by need, but I also love the crow's tenacity and how it repeatedly tries different ways to solve the problem. It's as much a story of, if at first you don't succeed, try, try again. As the crow attempts to reach his head into the pitcher and get to the water, and eventually reasons out a possible solution. When we draw lessons from stories like these, or from our own lives or the lives of others, it's crucial to remember that what we take away may be very different than what someone else does. That may not be what anyone intends, but we are all unique beings with our own agency, and so we get to decide ultimately what we learn from any given situation. So if you're going through a tough time and someone tells you this is just windows closing before a door opens or a trial you must suffer through to achieve something better, well, that's their interpretation, but it is your story. If your lesson is more along the lines of, I can't do this alone and I need help, or this really freaking hurts right now, those are as valid, if not more so. Life isn't always so simple as a fable, and our life lessons cannot be so simple either. Instead, what if we embrace life for the messy web of consequences, chance, opportunity, hardship, and connection that it is? What if we fill our pitchers with the lessons we need rather than the lessons we are told we should have? Would they fill up faster? Would the water taste sweeter? Would we become like the crow? Sated and wise? What's your story? And what does it tell you? Wow. will finish up our notebook entry with a little charm or craft each month to add a practical element to your work. This time, since we are coming out of the Day of the Dead, Dia de Muertos, the All Souls Day, kind of the time honoring the dead, I thought we would look at a pair of bone-based charms. The first is the Turkey Wishbone. This is one that many people have probably experimented with, as wishbones are probably one of the most commonly used forms of bone magic. Turkey wishbones are particularly common in use in North America, as they typically get used for a luck ritual in which two people make a wish and pull the ends of the Y-shaped bones. When the bone snaps, whoever has the larger piece is thought to get their wish, or at least the lion's share of the luck. There's a lesser-known bit of lore about this bone, though, that involves looking for love. According to folklorist Vance Randolph, young women in the Ozarks would hang a turkey or chicken wishbone above their doorways in order to attract the attention and desire of suitors. Next up are ostoliths. These are essentially the ear bones of fish, especially ones like the meager or the carp. They form in rings, much like trees do, and can be used to date the ages of the fish they're found in. Sailors carry them as protection from drowning and storms at sea. They can also be carried or worn as a necklace to prevent a variety of conditions such as nosebleeds, kidney problems, or backaches. And according to the Pitt Rivers Museum, some fishers in Brazil will even brew a tea with the bone and drink it as a way to ward off the stings of dangerous sea creatures. That's it for this entry into your New World Witchery Folk Magician's Notebook. Thank you so much for joining us this month, and we hope you have a wonderful month ahead of you. If you'd like to help support this show and our work, you can visit us at patreon.com/newworldwitchery, where you can pledge $1 a month or whatever you can afford. You can get some lovely benefits as a part of doing that, and you get at first access to all of our episodes, as well as things like transcripts and other bonus episodes, things that don't get released to the public as well. So lots of stuff over there if you're interested in joining us. If you would like to hear more of us, you can, of course, check out one of our sister shows. We have Myth Taken, a Buffy the Vampire Slayer podcast, in which we recap all the episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, discuss them both in terms of their content and their folklore as well. We also have a show called Chasing Foxfire, in which we look at the intersections of folklore and other aspects of life. So intersections with fields like science, medicine, nature, art, literature, all sorts of places. And we interview interesting people about those things. So we interviewed somebody about a hoax involving a giant. We've interviewed somebody about volcanic eruptions that helped to tell the story of the Hawaiian Islands. We've done all sorts of really, really interesting stories on that one. So if you're interested in folklore, and particularly where folklore touches sort of everyday life in the real world, check it out. It's definitely fun. Links to those are in our show notes. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so at compassandkey@gmail.com or newworldwitcherypodcast@gmail.com. Both of those will reach us. You can find our website at newworldwitchery.com. Where you can find all of our episodes. You can also find over 200 articles on various aspects of folk magic in North America as well. And you can find the links to pretty much anything else we've ever done or talked about through that website as well. So definitely check us out there. We're also on several different social media sites too. So you can find us around places like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the typical haunts. So if you'd like to make friends with us there, we'd love to have you. That will about do it for us this time. Again, thank you everybody for joining us. We hope you have a wonderful November. And until next time, thanks for listening. Be well.